When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here we go. First pitch time, 8:31. And Jeter swings. It's a high drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball deep in the bleachers in left field. And on the first pitch of the game, the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Inside the 1 o'clock hour on The Fan, my last hour tonight. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host. KM to 2 a.m., C-Mac coming up next. And, yeah, I really don't want to backtrack, but if you're just tuning into the show and you listen before the break, like, man, some things are bigger than sports. I'm just like you, bro. I care about all these sports, all these teams. I go to games. I wear the gear. I have all the sports apps, sports betting apps. I'm on it, bro. But, like, we got to have a line. And another thing that I wanted to add to that, bro, I don't want to hear any more examples about, but what about Aroldis Chapman? What about Domingo Herman? What about Jose Reyes? Yeah, what about this needs to stop? What about let's draw a line in the sand and say no more? No more. I thought they did. Like, but it's just it's unfortunate, man. Like, there's just a lot of dudes out here that just don't get it. And then clearly, like, there is no line. We lose a starting pitcher for the Mets and for the Yankees, and it's like, oh, this guy. No, anybody but this guy. I'd rather someone with no baggage that's a good dude that's working his way up get the opportunity before this guy gets another opportunity. This guy had it all. This guy had the world in the palm of his hands, being a jerk off. And now that these things are known about him, There probably is no coming back. It's over for you, bro. It's over for you, bro. And I don't feel sorry for you because with great power comes great responsibility, Spider-Man quote, but a real quote. When you have a certain level of status, when you have certain abilities and certain powers, like, you have to conduct yourself in a certain way. And when we find out that you were doing something that you weren't supposed to be doing, sometimes that's it for you, bro. And there's 30 Major League Baseball teams. Dude played for 10% of them. And the other 90% of them probably know it ain't worth it. 877-337-6666. So speaking about losing your ace, we found out about Gerrit Cole yesterday. It's going to be a month or two. Fingers crossed. Maybe he comes back. With Kodai Senga, I was reading an article in the Post saying that he might need some extra time before throwing again. I think originally it was the PRP shot, the PRP injection, and then they said he was going to start throwing the week of opening day. Mendoza spoke on it. He said it's not a setback, none of that, but we want to make sure that before he picks up a baseball, he's strong and that we're comfortable. And there's really not a timetable, but I think when he had the last PRP shot, they said it would be the week of opening day. No rush. It's a long season. Mets fans lock in. Yankee fans lock in. Nobody knows what's about to happen, but we're about to go for the ride. Craig is in Rhode Island. Craig, you're on The Fan.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for having me on. You know, I got to say, I was happy to talk about the Mets, but as I've been listening to you before the break and well after now, I just really want to push on the Bauer stuff here. So what exactly is your formal critique of Bauer, who's never been arrested, he's never been convicted of a crime, who even the courts have said, we're not placing a restraining order against the woman who's accused him of these things against Trevor Bauer. What exactly, to the T, is your legal critique of Trevor Bauer?
I don't have a legal critique on the guy. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a legal professional. But as a man, as a sports fan, as a sports talk show host, I think the guy's a scumbag. And, like, the little bit that I've read on Twitter, the little bit that I know about him is enough for me to not endorse him, for me to not want him on my team, and for me to get on air and say I don't believe anybody's going to take a chance on a guy that, sorry, kids, I know a lot of kids listen to my show, but I don't think anybody's going to take a chance on a guy that gets off by beating women up in the bedroom. It's just not going down, in my opinion.
I agree with you. And to which, like, so here's, you know, part of me doesn't even want to engage this conversation because of what it could mean for me, right? So I understand it. Here's what I would say, Keith, is that this is a man who, Trevor Bauer, now look, I think you can have two conversations here. One, is he still one of the top five pitchers in the world? And then two, is he worthy of ever pitching on an MLB team? Now, I understand those are two separate conversations. The way I see this is a man, Trevor Bauer, the courts, you know, they clearly ruled against the woman who wanted to place a restraining order against him. He's never been arrested. He has no formal indictments against him in any legal sense of the word. So Trevor Bauer, in the sense, is a free man. So I would just hold you to say, okay, what's the difference between Trevor Bauer and, say, Familia, who was arrested a couple of years ago for domestic violence, charges later dropped? I understand this is very complicated stuff, Keith, but it just hits a point where it's like almost we're just masquerading around and just sort of not really giving a man his due for hearsay. And that's, I just really want to push you on, what is your issue specifically with Trevor Bauer?
All right, I'll let you go, Craig. I don't care to have this conversation, yo. It's just so stupid. And I just asked y'all to not do the what aboutism? What about Familia? What about Reyes? What about... Each case is different. Each situation is different. This guy's not under contract. Some of these other guys were. This guy is not seeking any type of help. This guy is trying to play the victim. And I'm telling you, there's a reason why he's not picked up. This guy has got a Cy Young, as I talk about Blake Snell and Gerrit Cole all night, Cy Young winners. Why is there nobody willing to touch this guy with a 10-foot pole? He's got to sign with the Asian Breeze and go pitch against minor leaguers in the Dodgers spring training facility to try and prove himself. I don't think he was ever one of the best five pitchers in the world. He claimed here at WFAN that he's one of the top 15 pitchers in the world right now. Bro, you were pitching in the Korean League against 11 teams. I don't think you are what you used to be. And not because Marty Mush was able to get a knock off of him. Not because of, you know, not because of the videos. And I just think it's bigger than people want to actually say. When we talk about the court of law and cases being dismissed or settled, like, yeah, okay. I don't think we really want to know. I don't think we really want to know. And when I go back to try and do what seems to never be done here at WFAN, defend those women, and I tried to use the example of me having women in my life, either girls that I've dated or gone to college with, and hearing horror stories about rape, about sexual harassment, about guys being physical, rough with them, man, it's not the type of thing that these women are lining up to talk about. Some of these girls that we don't know about, not just Lindsey Hill, maybe they weren't looking for money. Maybe this guy had a pattern of doing this, thinking that he was king of the world as a major league pitcher, making millions of dollars, getting any of these random girls to disrespect like this at night. Maybe there was one or two of these girls that didn't know what she was walking into. And maybe it was horrific for her. And she's moved on with her life. And she's got a good job. And a guy that she's dating. Maybe a fiance. Maybe a husband. Maybe she does not want to bring up these bad memories again. And maybe it hurts to even hear all of these people say, sign Trevor Bauer. Bring in Trevor Bauer. Why not Trevor Bauer? Why not? Because the dude's a monster. And the dude's walking around like he's the victim. No, bro. You knew what you were doing. Again, with a level of power and a level of status, you're supposed to conduct yourself in a certain kind of way. And the league has specifics about these things. From the time we saw the video of Ray Rice, where there were people saying, oh, Ray Rice, what's he getting suspended for? Two games? Then you see the video and you're like, whoa, he should be done. All of the leagues had different stances on domestic violence after that. And for you to be in the league and know that and be carrying yourself the way that we know Trevor Bauer was behind closed doors and then taking shots at the league, the commissioner of the league, and then carrying yourself the way you were. This guy, take the girl stuff out of it, the sexual stuff out of it. This is a guy that injured himself playing with a drone when he was with the Cleveland Indians. They were not the Guardians yet. So we initially looked at him like, dummy, what are you doing? This is a guy that Tito Francona goes to take him out of a game. He chucks the ball out of the stadium through the center field, the wall behind center field. And this is a guy that with Rachel Luba paraded around like he was King S. Rachel Luba makes the Forbes 30 under 30 being his agent, right? He is on one end of the spectrum acting like, look, I've got this woman agent. Look at me. I've got a female representative. And then you're doing what you're doing behind closed doors. It serves him right. I can't campaign for the guy. I think it's disgusting that we take so many calls and I listen to the fan and now I just gotten to the point where I'm tired of it, yo. I'm tired of it. He's not the option. Give me any of these guys that are in spring training over him. 877-337-6666. Like, you guys got to get a grip, bro. We're talking about sports here. We're talking about grown men playing a kid's game. And we have grown men that have never actually even probably looked up some of the horrific stuff that was written about this guy, that came out about this guy, that you can easily go search his name and find. You're leaning more into the case was dismissed. Oh, he never got charged. Why? So he can pitch for your team? That's foul. That's foul. That tells me you haven't been around too many women. That tells me you don't have too many women in your life that you care about. And if you do, imagine one of them went on a date with this guy, had some drinks with this guy, and ended up in his quarters getting their ass kicked and didn't know it was going to turn into that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's foul to me. I can't rock with it. And I've got to my wit's end of taking calls on it. And we've been doing this for months ever since this guy sat in here on the fan campaigning. And honestly, we should have pressed him harder. Honestly, everybody should have grilled him. Like, bro, what type of time are you on? What type of stuff are you into? Are you nuts? Are you crazy? Maybe you should go back to the Bay Stars. Maybe you should go back to pitching over there, because I really don't think in Manfred League Baseball, and Manfred's the commissioner for the next 5 years, and Manfred didn't forget your critiques and the things that you said about him. I don't think any of these commissioners who Manfred, or any of these owners who Commissioner Manfred works with, is in contact with, I don't think any of these guys are taking a chance on you, because you're not that great. You're not that good, even for the league minimum. Let's go to Butch up in Yonkers on the fan. What's up, Butch?
Hey, how you doing? How's it going, Keith?
Yeah, I'm chilling. But, you know, sometimes we got to take the tone to a different level when we're talking. Like, this is more serious than starts and rotations.
You got to wake the city up about that, that's all. But check this out. With the Cole situation, you don't think there's nobody down in the minor leagues that can step up and hold it down till they get him back?
There is.
Or the Yankees might need to open a series.
The Yankees have. I had a show where I was like, this is the starting five, and the Yankees have a backup starting five of Luke Weaver, Cody Poteet, Will Warren, Luis Hill, and Clayton Beater. They have those five guys waiting in the wings, because we know, as we watch these seasons, last year we got introduced to Randy Vasquez and Johnny Brito and Andy Manischewitz or Anthony Mesovich or whatever his name is. You know what I'm saying? These guys fill in. You'll get a start from Chichi Gonzalez. You'll get a start from a random guy that you weren't thinking about because you need innings.
Definitely, man.
Manny Banuelos will pull up. Like, you like this. This is what happens in baseball, and the Yankees.
After
I think
long season.
Yes, and Butch, I think that you can expect that the Yankees are more inclined to go with what they have than to break the bank for Snell or Montgomery and go over that luxury tax.
Hey, I wanted to ask you one more question. The guy Ridley, did he sign with anybody?
Yeah, Calvin Ridley today went to the Titans, which surprised me.
The Cowboys didn't get him.
The Cowboys are a joke. I'm pretty sure. Let me see. I'm pretty sure the Titans got him, or at least I saw. Yeah, because Calvin Ridley put out a post. I saw Titans are signing Jaguars wide receiver Calvin Ridley, and somebody came out and said that's way too much for Calvin Ridley. And Calvin Ridley posted a picture of his daughter with $7,000 or $70,000 cash.
Hey, get it while you can. Get the bag while you can get it, right?
Yes, sir.
Definitely, man. Hey, we'll see what happens, man. Baseball right around the corner, man.
Yeah, we're getting there. Thanks for the call, Butch. Let me confirm the numbers and everything. Yes, Calvin Ridley signing $92 million contract with the Titans in NFL free agency. That's a lot of money, but that's what you got to do. He was the top free agent wide receiver. Once Mike Evans went back, and Mike Evans is counting money too. Like, once Mike Evans went back to the Bucs and T. Higgins got tagged, Calvin Ridley's stock rose up. And how do you get a guy? How do you get a Saquon Barkley? You offer him an offer that he absolutely cannot refuse. And yeah, he'll go to Tennessee and go play with Will Levis. So Calvin Ridley signs for $92 million. And people are like, $92 million for Calvin Ridley? Hey, mark my words. I did a stream on Bleacher Report about Calvin Ridley. He's going to be better next year. He had a year off from the gambling stuff. Remember, they tried to Pete Rose him. They tried to come down on him hard for the gambling, and then we found out a bunch of other players were gambling. There will be more to come. But his first year back in a new environment, a new city, a new franchise, new quarterback, new team, I think a lot of us were expecting him to do better than he actually did. I think he himself, I read his article in the Players Tribune, he said he was going to be a 1,400-yard receiver. I think he barely cracked 1,000, but I expect him to be better next year. Out there, he's fast. He's got good hands. He's got great route running ability. And Will Levis, not for nothing. We'll see what Will Levis turns into. Will Levis is in a good spot. I think DeAndre Hopkins, DeAndre Hopkins still on the team? Or was that a one-year deal? I think it was a one-year deal. He's still there. Fleek says he's still there. So, yeah, Calvin Ridley joins the Titans. And Will Levis loses King Henry, but they picked up Tony Pollard, and now he's got DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley to throw to. That's insane. And now people are reacting to that money, and they're like, yo, how much are they going to pay Justin Jefferson? Justin Jefferson's about to be $40 million a year. It went from $30 million a year. Now you got to pay Jay Jettas $40 million a year. That's crazy. Steve's in Rockland on the Fan in New York. What's up, Steve?
Well, Keith. Let me chime in here and just say that if Trevor Bauer did that and it was my sister or my cousin or some female, you know what? They'd still be looking for him.
Exactly.
They'd be like, Where'd that guy go? He disappeared. Ooh, where is he? Yeah. All right, we'll just leave it at that, okay? We'll leave it right there.
Heard you. Understood. Right? Yes, sir.
That's not a threat. That is a vow. That is a promise. All right. So, you know, and I want to say some stuff just in general about about the NFL and the players and the money. All right. Look, I wish that the players would just say, "This is if the NFL is king." Which it is. And it is this multi-billion dollar behemoth. We are the product. Okay? And this salary cap stuff, the hard cap and the franchise, enough is enough. And it's time for these guys to finally just put their foot down and get together and say, we are not going. You know, there's not going to be labor peace unless you give us some relief here. The idea that the Giants couldn't sign sick, you know, I mean, right now the rules are the rules, okay? And this is another thing. It is the only sport where I could never, ever, ever begrudge any of these players for wanting to go where they could get the most guaranteed money. Bottom line, all right? You know, Saquon wanted to stay. It's a business.
Yeah, it is what it is. And these guys are going to go where they get the best offer, and that's going to upset a lot of people that love them, but it's a cold game.
You know, and you know what? I would never – and did you see what Kelsey said? Did you see what Jay Kelsey said? He's disappointed. retired because he would have loved, basically he was saying he would wish he could be blocked for Saquon.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, he is, look, the guy, and the guy, you know, everyone's saying he's a local guy. Yeah, well, he went to Penn State. He's a Pennsylvania guy, too. And he didn't have to disrupt his personal life all that much, okay, to just go down the turnpike. And I can't wait to let him be healthy. I can't wait to see what he does now. There's another thing, you know. If you would like, I would do another installment of what I call, it's like a little thing here, when the inmates ran the asylum, you know, Yankee Stadium in the old days. And when I say that, I'm myself as one of the inmates, all right?
Just you got a story to tell? We got time. I got a couple more calls.
I got another one, man. I got another one. Listen to this one. Okay. I can't remember the opponent, all right? But game ends. We were like in the mezz. We were in the mezzanine. And we're just hanging out, you know, and the game's over. And all of a sudden, we see a security, not a cop, but one of the rent-a-cops, a security guy. And he's beating, like, this 16, 17-year-old kid with a flashlight. All right? And, I mean, he was, you know, whatever that kid did, it couldn't have been, it wasn't worth what he was getting. And the next thing the security guy knew, there was like 10 guys saying, excuse me, what are you doing to that guy? What are you doing to him with your flashlight? And, you know, one thing led to another, and we gave him a taste, all right? You know, we were like, you want to beat on him? Well, let's see how you like it, right? And, you know, this guy, and so now, it wasn't prolonged. It was a message more than that. And now the guy, you know, we were helping this kid who was hurt. And he's running away. And, I mean, he was running. He was falling over the railings. I mean, this dude probably hurt himself more falling over the railings running away than what we did to him, right? And I looked down, and this is the funniest part. I look down, and there's this flashlight. And now the guy's like in the field boxes. And I said, hey, dude, I'm telling him, you forgot your flashlight. True story, man.
Steve in Rockland, Tales from the Old Stadium. We'll be right back to the Old Stadium. Steve, thanks for the call. And yeah, man, it just is what it is, yo. You heard Steve start the call with, if that was my sister, or if that, like, please try to take that thought process now instead of the, we need starting pitching. We need another pitcher. We got to replace Kodai Senga. We got to replace Gerrit Cole. This guy's a former Cy Young winner. He's looking for league minimum. It ain't that simple. It's much more intricate and complicated. And if you're a grown man that actually understands grown man things and have been around some grown women and have women in your life that you love, take the other stance and think about if your sister or your wife, you know, what if your wife, you didn't know a secret about her, that she was once in a situation with Trevor Bauer. Think about how you would feel if that guy got another opportunity and then she was called upon to tell her story. You know what I'm saying? It's not good. There's nothing good about it. And the fact that we try to minimize it and build this guy up to say that he's the victim, you know, I had thought about that too. When he was on BT and Sal, I was kind of with the, yeah, everybody deserves a second chance. But then I dug deeper into it. And me being a host on WFAN, some people have sent some things my way. And I've tried to stay out of that conversation and just literally say to you guys, it's not going to happen because of the protest. It's not going to happen because, like, and tonight I really laid into it. It's not happening. We're 2 weeks away from opening day. Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery aren't on teams. And I know it's completely different. And even today, I heard Evan getting upset with Loogie for mentioning those guys not being signed. It's completely different. There are maybe 90% of teams in Major League Baseball that could use a Trevor Bauer. But I'm not thinking that any of those guys would sign him for a dollar. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's break it down. We can talk Yankees, Mets. I'll sprinkle in some other things. This is my last little run right here. We'll be right back.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
A one, a two, a one, a two, a one, two, three, four. Here we go. I think I've got like 20 minutes here. Keith McPherson on the Fan. C-Mac in the building. He's coming up next. Yeah. I like lost my train of thought. I had all these other things that I wanted to talk about. And then we had to go down the Trevor Bauer rabbit hole. And yeah, that's what you'll be going down if you take a chance on him, which the Yankees are not dumb. The Mets are also not dumb. This is New York. There's a ton of people here. If anyone took a chance on him, it'd be a small market team. And they're not doing that. So, like, even people calling up the Fan to be like, is this collusion? Is he blackballed? Yeah, dummy. Clearly, there's a note out there to be like, don't do it. Do not bring him in. No, he's done. He served his suspension, but it isn't a PED suspension. He served his suspension, but he's not under contract. He's cooked. And I don't wish him any luck. So let me hit a couple more things, and then we'll go to John in Brooklyn. Something I wanted to say before the show ended tonight, because I didn't get to it two nights ago. I'm going down to spring training, and I lined up my spring training trip with our WFAN broadcast. WFAN's not paying for me to go, but like I wasn't expecting that to be in the budget. But if I'm going to go down there, I'd like to go down there similar to what I did 2 years ago and be able to pop into the booth and see John and Susan. I literally love John and Susan. And speaking of John and Susan, it was put out there that John is going to do less games this year. Also, Howie Rose is going to do less games this year. It's just, you know, time. Changing of the guard and, you know, Father Time is undefeated and we got to evolve and adapt. I mean, I'm sitting in this chair. It could be Steve Summers in this chair. Shout out to Steve. Steve's 77, about to be 78. Let's see. Steve Summers' age. April 17th, Steve will turn 77. You feel me? You understand like where I'm going with this? So Andrew Marchand put out a tweet that said, WFAN's plan is for Justin Shackle and Emmanuel Barbari to each call about 25 Yankee games on WFAN when John Sterling is off this season. Man, that's a lot. And it just makes me proud and happy for Justin and E-Man. Shaq and E-Man. That's their nicknames. Like, I've seen Justin Shackle grinding for years, bro. From when he was doing the just the scoreboard hits with my guy Brian Clark. They came out of Fordham together. He was just doing the scoreboard hits. I think it was like Yankees on Demand or Yankee Central or something when you go to the stadium. This is like 2015. I'm seeing Shackle do to like, hey, fans, welcome to Yankee Stadium. And now he is in line to be the voice of the Yankees or one of the voices. And then E-Man, bro, E-Man is like 10 years younger than us. Shaq is like my age, like 34, 35. E-Man is 25. And E-Man got to call some games last year. And just through grinding it out and being a good guy, as I was on TikTok, one of the young guys right now on my TikTok was asking me like, hey, you know, what advice do you give me for like internships? And I'm like, no advice. I didn't get any internships. Nobody was bringing me in. And one of the things that I said advice wise, like it's about what you know and who knows you. What you know is not just like your knowledge of sports. But it's like what you know about like being a good person, working hard, showing up every day, putting the time in, like you got to know that like that's going to carry weight. And, you know, when I look at E-Man and I look at Shaq, I am looking at these guys like, yo, they grinded, they put in the work and they're getting the opportunity. So I wanted to just send a shout out to them as we go into another Yankee season. And, you know, I'll be on, you know, the broadcast would tell me something cool. And I hope to be able to jump in to the broadcast as WFAN will start airing Yankees games, I think this weekend and into next week and next week. So you'll hear Susan, you'll hear John, I believe you'll hear Shaq, E-Man, and Double R, Ricky Ricardo, calling Yankee games. And John, I think, is only doing one game. And I think that's the last day that I'm out there because I hope to be able to see John Sterling. So, yeah, wanted to put that out there. And, yeah, shout out to Howie Rose, too. And who is it, Keith Rad, that's doing the call on the radio for Howie Rose, I believe. Yeah, so shout out to everybody. Just get an opportunity, man. These are jobs that people dream of, and there's a ton of people fighting for them. And, yeah, we're moving on into the future. Somebody's got to call these games. People throw my hat in the ring. I'm like, I'm no play-by-play guy. I'm no announcer. I'm no broadcaster. You guys do not want to hear me call the Yankee games. I would sit in for an inning or two, and that's what I plan on doing down at spring training. Let's go to John in Brooklyn now, like I said. What's up, John? You're on the Fan.
What's up, Key? You seem a little uptight, man. I feel you'd be happy this whole weekend with your college that you went to the band, making it to the tournament.
The Dukes. I am super proud of the James Madison University sports programs. They literally told us when I was there, like, this is what they were going to be and become. I'm not uptight at all. The thing is, you get tired of taking the same calls every day, and that's our job. But when it's about an abuser, when we have, you know, grown men endorsing a guy that's a scumbag, thought of just like we need a starting pitcher. Nah, anybody but that guy.
He did it to himself.
Exactly. I can't do the whole he's a victim thing. Like, nah, bro, you signed up for that.
Yeah, you're right. It's true. I just gotta say one thing. I was watching spring training today, right, with Gary Cole and who works on your station, Sal, the SNY, as his favorite player hit a home run on Cole.
Daniel Vogelback, yeah, in the one start that Cole made, Daniel Vogelback took him deep. Yep.
Yeah. I knew something was wrong with him there. I said, damn, he didn't look right. He looked kind of pale today on the mound. He looked like he didn't have fluids in his body. You know, he didn't probably rest right. Slept on the shoulder. You know, sometimes you sleep. You know, you put your arm underneath the pillow and stuff like that. Maybe he slept like that.
It was over a week ago. And I remember my reaction to it was, what's up with Garrett Cole giving up home runs to these fat lefties like Devers, like G-Man Choi? Thanks for the call, John. John's falling down the steps. And Daniel Vogelback. Yeah, let's see. March 1st. So that was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, Garrett Cole pitched and gave up that home run to Vogelback. And that's going to happen. Anybody can get rocked, bro. Anybody can give up a home run. Luis Severino gave up a home run tonight or yesterday, and he had a good outing. But all in all, Cole is shut down. He wasn't right. And what it started with was he wasn't able to bounce back. He wasn't able to recover the way that he was used to. And as a baseball savant, as a guy that is a pitching guru, as a guy that has been doing this for a long time, he knows himself. So, unfortunately, he alerted the Yankees, and the Yankees looked into it, and now here we are. We don't have our ace. We don't have our Cy Young winner. And my rally cry tonight to the New York Yankees is, if you are what you say you are, go get another superstar. If you're desperate, desperate times call for desperate measures, but I don't think you're that desperate, right? If you're supposed to be the 27-time New York Yankees looking for 28 all in this year, hell-bent on being a champion, looking to end the drought, saying yourself that the fans did not get what they deserved last year, here's a warning shot. Push your chips into the middle. Show us you're actually really all in. Bobby's in Oceanside, New York. Bobby, you're on the Fan.
Hi, Keith. It's been a long time that I've been listening, and I'm really happy to talk to you. You're the best and nicest guy on the Fan. You and C-Mac hold it down overnight. It's the best sports talk. It's old school sports talk in New York City, and I appreciate it. I've been listening to the Fan since day one. Two things real quick. So I think the Mets can do really well, but they're going to have to bang. They're going to have to hit. You know, these starters, you know, the Mets are going to have to score four or five runs a night. And then I really believe in this bullpen. So I think that's going to be, I think they have a good shot.
I agree with you. And thanks for the compliments. And C-Max coming up next. And
I got one more thing for you, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm a visually impaired sports fan. I got to stand not even one foot away from my 65-inch TV hanging on my wall in my basement. And I watch every night all the stuff you watch. But when the Knicks aren't playing, I mute it and I listen to you. But I want to tell you something about the kids, because your dad, I got a 5-year-old daughter, and she has perfect vision, thank God. And she knows every name and every number on this Knicks team. Think about the names on this Knicks team, Keith. Precious. OG Ananobi. She sings walking around the house.
Hartenstein.
Julius and Jalen and the big Ragu. And I can watch the play and I'll go, shot clock. And it's just awesome. And that's your future, bro. You're going to love raising your son, watching these games, and being a dad and a sports dad. So thank you for everything. I love listening to your show. And keep going, bro. Love you.
Thanks for the call, Bobby. I appreciate it, man. I hope my kid is into sports. I think I said earlier he's 11 months today, and it's now like a different journey with him. Now he's like, even today, I'm trying to sleep this morning, and he's just yelling and babbling. I'm like, bro. This guy, I'm like, wait till he learns how to talk. He's not going to shut up. And my wife's like, yeah, he's like you. I'm like, oh, well, the spawn of Keith McPherson. Here we go. Love Jackson, though. Love you. But, yeah, as we close my show, the last 10 minutes of my show, shout out to C-Mac. That's what I was going to say before. I'm a C-Mac fan. We were doing the Yankees podcast for a little while, but, I mean, don't want to do a podcast today on what do we do without Garrett Cole. We're done with that. And I don't think we announced that either. There will be no more BXB, and that's perfectly fine, because what you'll get is myself and C-Mac every night after the Yankees games. You'll be able to hear our reactions in real time. If you're a Yankee fan and you're like us, insomniacs, and are up all night, I think you'll enjoy this next run through the spring, summer, and fall. And myself, I'm up because I have a child. I'm up because I drink a bunch of caffeine before I come here to stay up at night. And when I go home, I can't come down. I'm living my dreams. So there's a lot of times where I can't fall asleep and have actual dreams. And you know what I'm doing at home? I'm listening to you guys call C-Mac. I'm listening to C-Mac's takes. I'm listening to C-Mac do his show. And he's a pro's pro that's been in here for a long time. I said, yo, your takes are missed in the afternoon drive when he used to be on with Craig. You already heard me say, I'm like, Craig didn't know anything about baseball. He could barely name the starting rotation on either the Mets or the Yankees. And, you know, Tiki being a former NFL player, I feel like there's just no way he could follow baseball being locked in with his training and practicing and even playing games that overlap with the baseball season. Thank God we have Evan. Evan is a baseball encyclopedia, my Mets Bible. Go get it now. Evan, listening to Evan talk today, I'm like, yeah, Evan is a baseball guy, and his baseball knowledge and how he talks about the game and can educate people about the game while he's spitting on air, he might be one of the best guys nationally when it comes to talking baseball. And he's not going anywhere. He's going to stay right here. So I think there's a lot of talent here at the Fan. I appreciate you guys that like my show and what I bring to the table. What I want you guys to get out of this show tonight, now that both Mets and Yankee fans have lost their ace and we don't know necessarily when they're going to come back, is that also we don't know what's going to happen this season. And baseball is beautiful. Having baseball back in our lives is beautiful. And don't let anything rain on your parade. Don't let anyone tell you the Mets suck. It's not worth your time. Like, it is. If you like baseball, if you like watching baseball, if you like going to the ballpark, same thing with the Yankees and the Yankee fans. I'm like, Yankee fans trip me out. The greatest rivalry in baseball is Yankee fans versus other Yankees fans. Just go on Twitter and watch how Yankee fans beef with each other. You know, we cried all day the last 3 days about, oh, they don't tell us the truth. Oh, we don't know what's happening. Just be forthright. Just tell us what's happening. And then John Heyman comes out there and tells you what's happening, and you have some Yankee fans saying, no, that's not true. No, the Yankees didn't say it. Or the other Yankee fans saying, well, season's over because we can't win without Garrett Cole, and he's headed for Tommy John, and this is just going to lead to them telling us he's getting surgery in a couple weeks. And I'm like, all right, well, if you're crying that they're not telling you what's going on and not telling you the truth, when they give you something, why are you making up your own story? Why are you coming up with your own conclusions? You should have just did that from the beginning. 877-337-6666. So I guess I missed this before. Seahawks perennial Pro Bowl and All-Pro linebacker Bobby Wagner is signing with the Commanders on a one-year deal. And if you heard me talk yesterday about the Commanders are signing everybody. The Commanders are picking up everyone in free agency. And I like what the Giants have done. The Dallas Cowboys have done nothing. They finally actually made a move and were able to poach Eric Kendricks, which I think is a good move. Eric Kendricks was about to go to San Francisco to play for the 49ers alongside of Fred Warner. Obviously, Dre Greenlaw tearing his Achilles in the Super Bowl. He's not going to be ready to go by opening day. Well, not opening day, but kickoff. So they were about to, you know, come to terms with Eric Kendricks. He ends up flipping, and I think it was the influence of Mike Zimmer, his former coach in Minnesota, to come to Dallas. But the Cowboys are cooked. I've been roasting them online every chance that I get. The Big D is for big dummies. The Big D is for big delusional. The Big D is for big disaster waiting to happen. The Big D is for big Dak payday coming again. Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones said he's all in. Yeah, they're all in denial. I can run off those forever. America's team. Yeah, more like America's team to laugh at. I've been going through this Dallas Cowboys stuff for almost 30 years. It's unfortunate because my favorite baseball team is halfway there to being the New York Yankees. But the Commanders, we were talking about the Manders. Austin Eckler, tough. Bobby Wagner, tough. Marcus Mariota, whatever you say about him, that's a good backup to have. Zach Ertz, got to still have something still left in the tank. Dante Fowler comes over from the Dallas Cowboys. Frankie Louvu. Tyler Biadasz comes over from the Dallas Cowboys. Jeremy Chinn, Dorrance Armstrong comes over from the Dallas Cowboys. Top pick from a few years ago that's now turning into a journeyman, Cleveland Farrell over there. Brandon McManus, you know Brandon McManus, a decent kicker. Jamison Crowder is washed, but he's there. They picked up some guys in free agency for Dan Quinn, for Josh Harris, new ownership, new head coach. I'm on TikTok. My allergies are flaring up. You guys keep watching me scratch my nose. I'm not picking my nose. I'm itching my nose. There's a difference. Anyway, the Giants have to have more moves in free agency and a really good draft, or they might actually be the worst team in the NFC East because the Commanders can make a jump where, like, that's the last team that you could bank on beating. That's the last team that you felt good about. Oh, well, we're going to beat Washington. They're going to look completely different this year. They should change that name, but they're under new ownership. They have a new coach. It is going to be different in the nation's capital, and they're going to draft the top quarterback, whether it is Drake May, Jaden Daniels. I thought they were going to go all in to try and get Caleb Williams with him being from D.C. A lot of losing has gone on in the nation's capital. The Nationals, the Wizards, the Commanders. They're looking to make some noise right away next year. They've been really active in free agency. What else did I not mention? Joe Flacco. So, in my estimation, why wouldn't the Browns bring Joe Flacco back? Because they're like, you know, we caught lightning in a bottle. We're not going to pay him any more money. We're paying a ton of money to Deshaun Watson, another abuser that got a second chance that really didn't deserve one so quickly. Definitely didn't deserve the most guaranteed money in NFL history at the time, but whatever. That's Cleveland. That's the Browns. That's not the New York Yankees or the Mets. Joe Flacco signs with the Indianapolis Colts. They obviously lose Gardner Minshew. They're expecting Anthony Richardson back, and they've got this guy coming to town at age 39, and I think he'll be a serviceable backup. He's obviously still able to throw the ball. He signs a one-year deal worth up to $8.7 million, including $4.5 million guaranteed. Good for Joe Flacco. I told you guys my Joe Flacco story. Joe Flacco is the reason I didn't go to Delaware. You guys heard me, you know, say JMU. JMU and Delaware, rivals, played each other. I was pretty sure I was going to Delaware. Hofstra was my first offer. Delaware was my second offer. Casey Keeler, man, Casey Keeler came to my high school. Casey Keeler was sending me letters. Casey Keeler, I showed up to Newark, Delaware, and I was supposed to work out. But they had already offered me. So I showed up with no cleats, no nothing. Casey Keeler didn't even trip. He took me around town, took me to the sub shop to go get his signature sandwich. And two legends from my high school, RIP John Key, and shout out to Eddie Conti, two legends from my high school went to Delaware and became legends. So I thought I was just next in the pipeline. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be a Delaware Fighting Blue Hen. And I remember sitting with their offensive coordinator going over X's and O's and being excited about it. There was one kid that was also getting recruited to go there, but I was like, whatever. Like, a lot of times you're going to have to go battle. You're going to have to go compete. When I went to JMU, I had to compete with Drew Dudzik, whose dad played at the school, and he was a top recruit. He ended up beating me out, but it's all good. I ended up leaving there. But what I'm saying is Joe Flacco, I heard through the grapevine, I heard through some forum. I remember back then we were on forums. They were talking about Joe Flacco transferring from Pitt to Delaware. Delaware? I was like, I'm not going there. Joe Flacco. And then my second year playing quarterback, third string quarterback at JMU, we're warming up, and I see Joe Flacco, and he's a monster. He's like 6'5", cannon arm. He's throwing the ball. I can hear the foo, foo, foo. I'm like, this dude's a freak. And then during the game, he even ran the ball. I'm on the sideline with my headset, listening to the offensive coordinator calling and sending the plays. He breaks a run down the sideline. He runs by me, and I feel the wind. And I'm like, yo, this guy's an NFL player. And then you guys know what happened to Joe Flacco. The Ravens drafted him. He won a Super Bowl, and you just watched him still getting it done. Joe Flacco, a few years older than me, 39. I'm 35. I was like, I am not going to Delaware because I cannot beat that guy out. I already do. All right. That's all I got, man. That was a good little story to end. I love having, like, degrees of separation from, like, Joe Flacco, Russell Wilson, Kenny Pickett, LeSean McCoy, Joe Hayden, a few other guys. No Sean Moreno, that was my dog. Anyway, Keith McPherson on the Fan. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching on TikTok. I'll be back with a 5-hour KM to AM at 7 p.m. The boy C-Mac is up next. C-Mac's going to come in here. I don't know, maybe talk to y'all about Aaron Rodgers. I can't take it seriously. I was a little disappointed. I'm riding home, I'm listening to C-Mac show. He opens up with Aaron Rodgers. I wake up in the morning and the first show I hear is BT and Sather talking about Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, stop! Aaron Rodgers is the song that doesn't end. And my show has to end. All right. Appreciate you guys. I'll be back at 7 p.m. Be good. Later. Sports Radio 1.